I believe that we Christians ought to be voting every time there's a vote.
Amen.
That is, I believe, is our civil duty. We were setting up the back of our assemblyman, Jeff Gallahan. He was just ahead of us, and I introduced myself to him and told him who we were, and we were conversing for a few minutes. He was getting ready. He and his wife were in the parade, and they were passing out flags to as many people as they could. To the point where they won't even go and vote. They'll have nothing to do with anything patriotic. Now, I believe that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, strength, and I don't think you should love your country more than God. You shouldn't love anything more than God. But do you have any respect for your country? Do you pray for your country? Do you, when it's time to vote in, even local, I vote in the local elections. I vote in the federal or the voting for the entire country, state assembly. I vote for any time I can. I vote. I've been doing that since I was 18 years old. I voted for Richard Nixon when I was 18 years old, 1972. He was running for president, and I went and I voted for him. That was me. That was a long time ago. Some of you might not like that, but I believe in voting. I take the candidates and I pick out the best one that believes somewhat like I believe. And that's who I vote for. Not necessarily a group, or not necessarily Republican, Democrat, whatever, independent. I primarily vote Republican. That's the way I vote. Maybe you don't, but that's what I do. My parents were that way, and I've been that way. Most, not all, some Republicans believe in the values that I believe in. I believe that we should honor life. Amen. And I look for who's pro-life and who isn't. And I vote for the pro-life individual. I believe in morals, and so do you, hopefully. And so we should look for the person that has the high quality of morals in their life, not only in their own personal life, but what do they believe? What are they going to push the country? How are they going to push the country? And what direction is the country going to go when they're in office? I believe we've been in trouble. We are in trouble. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And our elections, it's up to us to vote. We should be doing that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I was asking the Lord what to preach today, Memorial Day. Obviously, I try to bring some kind of a message that speaks to not only patriotism, but also, like the I told Brother Steve Bunnell, I said, look, I want a float that's patriotic, but I also want a float that's Christian. And he was able to combine both of those into that float. How many of you saw the float going down the street? You were there at the parade. How many of you were at the parade yesterday? Not just helping, but at the parade. Many of you were at the parade. A bunch of us was helping, but I thought the float was a tremendous... I think they did a great job on the float. I really do. And I commend them for that, just because of the hard work they put into that. And I really appreciate what they did. But that's what I think that we churches ought to do. We ought to be patriotic, but we also need to express and voice what we believe. By passing out those hundreds and hundreds of tracts, I think we passed out well over. We had to pass out close to 2,000. 1,500 to 2,000 tracts, I think, is what we passed out yesterday. And I've been praying that those individuals that grabbed the hold of that tract, or those kids, that they'd read it and we'd see them in heaven someday. We may never see them in our church. It'd be wonderful if they all came to church. But we may never see them in church. But wouldn't it be great to see them in heaven someday?
Amen.
I got saved because at that parade in Waterloo, your church was passing out these little gospel tracts. And I read it and I went home and I read it and I got saved. And I'm in heaven because of what you guys were doing at that church. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
I think it is. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that we read every time we have the Lord's Supper here. You say, that's a little weird, isn't it? Well, no, you'll see where we're going with this. If you can stand, would you stand with me as I read just verses 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. I'll read, you don't have to read out loud. You just follow along. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out today to this church service. And we pray that you'd speak to our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would work in a tremendous way right now, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of today's message is very simple, In Remembrance of Me. In Remembrance of Me. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I printed off something that I just want to share with you, read to you quickly, and then we'll get into the message. The origins of Memorial Day. 3 years after the Civil War ended, on May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans entitled the Grand Army of the Republic, and they shortened that to GAR, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared it should be May 30th. It is believed the date was chosen because flowers would be in bloom all over the country. The first large observance was held that year at Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The ceremonies centered around the mourning-draped veranda of the Arlington Mansion, once the home of General Robert E. Lee. Various Washington officials, including General Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant, presided over the ceremonies. After speeches, children from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Home and members of the GAR made their way through the cemetery, strewing flowers on both Union and Confederate graves, reciting prayers and singing hymns. Congress and President Lyndon Johnson declared Waterloo, New York, the birthplace of Memorial Day. There, a ceremony on May 5, 1866, honored local veterans who had fought in the Civil War. Businesses closed and residents flew flags at the half-staff. Supporters of Waterloo's claim say earlier observances in other places were either informal, not community-wide, or a one-time event. By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held on May 30th throughout the nation. State legislatures passed proclamations designating the day, and the Army and Navy adopted regulations for proper observance at their facilities. It was not until after World War I, however, that the day was expanded to honor those who have died in all the American wars. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress. Though it is still often called Decoration Day, it was then also placed on the last Monday in May, as were some other federal holidays. The National Monument of Remembrance encourages all Americans to pause wherever they are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence to remember and honor those who have died in service to the nation. As moment of Remembrance founder Camilla LaSpada states, it's a way we can all help put the memorial back in Memorial Day. Jeff, you want to come up and read your... Jeff's going to read us a poem at this time, and then I'll get into the message.
Fragile is a single life that breaks so freely, bound for immortality, their souls and truly live. That, don't be proud of what you took. They freely gave away. Their quest for freedom far outweighed the fear that you convey. They joined the ranks of warriors, staying vigil day and night. They often skipped a meal or two, but they never missed a fight. God bless the men and women whose fighting days are done. Say a special prayer at night for each and every one. Rest assured that you will find throughout the coming years, these fallen warriors will return in the hearts of all their fears. If we forget their sacrifice, their deaths will be in vain. Let's stand beside their loved ones as we sing their last refrain. You come upon our heaven's gates, you surely won't have long to wait. The saints have taken care of you, but there's still a lot to do. You join the ranks of everyone who's fought for freedom 51. Although your job on earth is done, your work in heaven just begun. And Pastor said this weekend, you know, we kind of take for granted. We do a lot of family, friends, and barbecues and all those things. But it's also a weekend that's hard on a lot of people. There's a lot of even some of them here have a hard time with one of their weekends. They lost friends, they lost brothers, loved ones. And if you take for granted all the things that you get to do tomorrow and coming week, just take some time to remember those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. I want to give you three things, quick things here this morning about this. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, over 1.3 million. The Civil War was the worst war that this country had ever seen as far as the lives lost, up to and including maybe even more, 750,000 people lost their lives in a civil war. It's a horrible thing to think about. 2% of the nation's population died during the Civil War. Families, brothers were at war against one another. The North against the South, and families against families, and people against people. It was a terrible war. But we need to remember those that have lost their lives so we can live a life that's free. And that's what America is all about. Men and women, we have people in this room that had no problem joining one of the armed forces. And when you join an armed force, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And if needed, you'll give your life for that flag and you give your life for that country. And as I said, up to 1.3 or more million men and women have done that down through the years. We have an amazing amount of freedom today still, and we can argue about the government, and I don't want to do that. We can put all kinds of people down, and we still have a lot of freedom in this country. Amen. We still have more freedom in this country than any other country in the world. Amen. And I have to say I do love this country. I enjoy being an American. I'm glad the Lord saw that I was born here and nowhere else. You ought to thank God that God put you here and nowhere else. There's so many things that are going on in other countries around the world. A lot of horrific things going on around the world that I don't even want to get into. But this weekend we remember. We remember three things. We remember the soldiers that have fallen. We remember the saints that have lost their lives for the sake and for Christianity. And then thirdly, we remember our Savior, because Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Let's not lose focus today of the reason that we're even here today. The reason that we're here today is Jesus Christ. We're not here for any other reason. You didn't come. I hope you didn't come here just to see me. this ugly, bald-headed old guy up here. I didn't come here just to see you, even though I enjoy looking at you and I enjoy seeing you. I came today, and you came today, for the sake of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come to church, folks. We come to church because the Lord wants us to be in church. He wants us to have fellowship with Him, and He wants us to have fellowship with one another. And so we need today, in this weekend, to remember the soldiers who have fallen. And I appreciate what Waterloo does. I appreciate what other towns do. And I appreciate that remembrance that we have. And that's what Memorial Day is all about, remembering the fallen, remembering the dead. After the Civil War, this is what was started because people wanted to recognize and see and remember those loved ones and neighbors and friends that lost their life for a war that didn't really have to be fought. But it was fought anyway. And so remember the soldiers today. But secondly, remember the saints who have suffered and died because simply they were believers. They were Christians. You know, I go through the Bible, and you can do this. We can do this real quick here too. But when you go through the Bible, how many of the men and women in this Bible were willing to lay their life down for God? Sacrifice for their Lord and Savior. I mean, I just wrote down a few. Joseph was a man that was willing to take a stand, and regardless of what happened, I mean, he was willing to lay his life down. Moses was willing. Jeremiah, they tried to kill him several times, and they wanted to kill him several times, and he was willing to die for his God, for his Jehovah. John the Baptist literally laid his head down on a chopping block and lost his head because of his God, because of his preaching, because of what he believed, but he was willing to do that. Stephen was martyred in Acts chapter 7 because he just simply preached the truth and preached about Jesus Christ, and they took him out and they stoned him for that. James, the brother of John, lost his head in Acts chapter 12. Peter was next on the chopping block, you may say, but God rescued him because God wasn't done with Peter yet. All of the apostles, you read the life history of all the apostles, all of them except for John the Baptist died a martyr's death. All of them. In various ways. Crucified upside down. Being thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. All kinds of horrific deaths they suffered. John the apostle was boiled in oil in hopes that he would die. But somehow God even rescued him and didn't allow him to die. Because he didn't write the book of Revelation yet. And he had to finish what God wanted him to do. But they were all willing to lay down their lives. Boy, after they met Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord and Savior, all of the apostles were willing to lay down their lives for their Lord and Savior. We need to remember them today, too. A girl by the name of Annie Askew in the 1500s was severely tortured and burned alive. Her crimes? She said this, and I quote, "I had rather read five lines in the Bible than to hear five masses in the temple." They took her out and they burned her alive, and they tortured her before that. William Fetty, an 8-year-old boy, when a Roman Catholic priest told him his father was a heretic, he said, and the boy responds, the priest says to him, "You have Balaam's mark on you." The boy said, "You have Balaam's mark on you." The priest, along with several other priests, stripped the boy naked and whipped him to the point of death. He died 2 weeks after that beating, simply for taking a stand for right, for truth. Henry Pond, Reynold Eastland, Robert Southman, Richard Matthew Riccardi, John Floyd, Roger Holland, and 6 other men were burned alive for the crime of having a church meeting in a field because their conscience did not allow them to go to the state-approved church. They're just having a church service out in a field, and they came and arrested them and burned them alive and tortured them. It's amazing what some people have gone through. Over to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, look at verse 26. How would you fare, Christian? If you were told that you had to recant your belief in Jesus Christ or be tortured and killed, what would you do? What would you say? What would your reaction be? Denounce Jesus Christ and we'll let you live. Denounce Jesus Christ and will not murder your wife and children. What would you say? What would you do? You're thinking right now. I can see your thinking in your mind. Many of us, we would, hopefully we could say, I would be willing to die. But you don't know what you'd say until that time came. In Acts 15, verse 26, the Bible says, men that hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say, most of us in here have never hazarded our lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe we've been made fun of a little bit here and there. Maybe we've been called a name once in a while. But have you really hazarded your life for Jesus Christ? Probably not. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Many of us in here, we're just afraid to be made fun of. We don't want to be made fun of. So it's easier just to kind of give in. And I know Christian men, they go to work and they talk like the rest of the guys there. They start cursing and telling dirty jokes, and the guy just hangs right around there and listens and laughs and joins right in. Why? Because you don't have enough backbone to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Millions of people lost their life because they said, I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to give in to your state-run church. I'm not going to... Many of them were just rebaptized. They got born again out of the Catholic Church. They got rebaptized. They were taken out and killed just simply for being baptized. Yeah. Biblically baptized. I wonder what our Christianity is like today. Paul, could you turn this off, please? It's not too distracting, but just a little. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Going through the hall of faith here in the Bible, and it says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not something coming from space, by the way. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Look at the next verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. Amen. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. The verse 37, you see where it says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins? Do you realize what that was all about? Some of you might know that. They would wrap them in that leather so tight that they couldn't move, and then they'd send them out to walk through the desert. You know what happens to leather over time? It shrinks. It slowly suffocates and just kills the body. And so that's what you had to look forward to when you're put into that situation. These people were tortured horribly. Horribly. And some of you can't even, some of you complain about coming to church. The preacher's talking about reading his Bible, reading our Bible again. And we complain about all kinds of things. All the preacher's looking for, you know, all they care about down there is money. That's what we're known for, right? Some out there in the community, some people, that's what they think. We complain about all kinds of things. We have no clue what real persecution's all about. Don't have a clue except what we read in the Bible or Fox's Book of Martyrs or some of these other books that declare what Christians, millions of Christians, have done before us. And we complain about the rain so we can't go to church, or the snow because so we can't go. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too humid, it's too blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Preacher, don't expect me to come back on a Sunday night. That's just way too much for me. And Wednesday night? You don't understand. I have my TV show I got to watch on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. After all, I got to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and all those other things that we watch. I don't know if you're addicted to that or not, but I'm just throwing that out there. Do you see where I'm coming from? We need to remember those saints that have died before us. Listen to this. William Tyndale was burned alive for the crime of translating the Bible into English so that the common person would be able to read it themselves. Do you know there was a time that the Bible was literally chained to a pulpit? And the only person that could read that and give to the people what they wanted was the priest. He was the only one allowed to read the Bible, and he would read the Bible and give it to the people. He was the only one. It was literally chained to the pulpit.
Amen. Right.
And nobody else was allowed to touch that Bible, to read that Bible, to even look at that Bible. And one young man, a teenager, walked into a Catholic church one time and saw the Bible chained to the pulpit. He was so amazed by it, he opened it up and he started to read it on his own, and the priest came in and caught him. You know what they did to that young man? They killed him because he was reading the Bible. And some of you won't take the time to read your Bible every day. People lost their lives to give us the Word of God today. William Tyndale was one of them. Simply putting the Bible into English so the common person out there could read it. Tell me what crime that is. Is that a crime? Well, not today, but during the time of William Tyndale, it was a crime, apparently, because some of the religious elites didn't want the common person to know that the Bible was God's Word. They held the power. The religious elites, the priests, okay, you're going to get offended, the Pope and all of these people, they held the power to literally hold the people hostage because they wanted to rule over them. They wanted to lord over them. Peter speaks against that in his letter.
Amen.
Lording over the people. We're not to lord over our people.
Amen.
Boy, there's been a lot of religious elites that have done that over the years. And you weren't allowed to do that at one time. You were not allowed to have your own copy. Let alone to have two or three or four or carry one in your back pocket. You weren't allowed to do that. It was a sentence of death if you had a copy of God's Word or if you even just read the Bible. You were in danger of losing your life. William Tyndale was burned alive again for the crime of translating the Bible into English so that the common person could read it for themselves. The freedom of worship that we have today was purchased by the blood of many, many saints who came before us and stood firm in the face of great tyranny and travail and torture. We know the names of hundreds of them, but there are thousands and thousands and thousands we don't know their names. You know what? Someday we're going to meet them in heaven. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I often wonder this. This is just my crazy little brain thinking. You have a crazy little brain that thinks like this one? I often wonder when we get to heaven someday, will some of these saints come up to us and say, why couldn't you just read the Bible every day when you had a copy of God's Word given to you so freely? Why couldn't you attend the church on a regular basis when you had the opportunity to do that? Why did you complain so much about it? We gave our lives
for what we believe. And we got here early. We got here before our time because of what we believe.
We're going to meet a lot of them that their names are not recorded down in history anywhere, but we're going to meet them, we're going to see them. And I don't know, we might just thank them for what they went through for us. We're going to see our Lord and Savior, and that's going to be the greatest blessing that we see when we get to heaven someday. But folks, we're going to meet a lot of people, millions and millions and millions. They say that during the dark ages, 50 million Christians gave their life for what they believed. 50 million Christians laid their life down just because they believed like you and I. They believed in having a copy of the Word of God. They believed in being baptized by immersion. They believed to acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We need to remember them today also. But thirdly, we need to remember our Savior. Because that's why people give their life or their lives is because of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a Christian, our greatest remembrance that we should remember this day, even this Memorial Day weekend, is we should remember our Savior who laid His life down so we can have eternal life. Jesus Christ should mean everything to you. He should be the person that you love the most in your life. There should be nobody else that you love more than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's the Lamb of God. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He's our judge. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the man of sorrows. He's the head of the church. He's master. He's faithful and true witness. He's the rock. He's the high priest. He's the door. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the true vine. He's the Messiah. He's our teacher. He's our Holy One. He's the mediator. He's the beloved. He's the branch. He's the carpenter. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the Word. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our Savior. He's our servant. He's our author and finisher of our faith. He's the Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He's Shiloh. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the I Am. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Bridegroom. He's the only begotten Son. He's the Wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's Emmanuel. He's the Son of Man. He's the Dayspring. He's the Amen. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Prophet. He's the Redeemer. He's the Anchor. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And He's God Almighty.
Amen.
That's who our Savior is. Could you remember Him today? Did He forgive you of all your sins? Ephesians 4:32 says, And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many sins have you committed in your life? How many sins are you going to commit in the future? You add them all up, and He forgave everyone. Every sin that you've ever committed and you're going to commit. He forgave everyone. And we're all in here sinners. Even those cute little kids that we have. Those cute little babies. They're just little sinners. They're going to grow up into being big sinners. We heard some great preaching this past week and how we need to train those children. You need to get them into Sunday school and get them into church and make sure that they know who God is. It's your responsibility, parents, to make sure that your children know who God is. That they know who Jesus Christ is. That they know there's a heaven and there's a hell. That they know what sin is all about. It's up to you to train your children and us grandparents to make sure that we're training our grandkids in the same way. But it's your responsibility, parent, to train your children. Our country is in a dire strait right now because parents have neglected their God-given biblical responsibility to make sure that their kids know who God is. Not getting it in the public school. There's no mention of God in the public school except for a curse word. We learned that in Sunday school today. Jesus Christ is only used as a blasphemous way. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Why do we forgive those that harm us? Because Christ forgave us. God forgave us. Look at 1 John 2:12. 1 John 2:12. John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Who forgave you of all your sins? Who died for you all of your sins? Jesus Christ. He's our forgiver. He should be everything in our life. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. We need to remember Him today also. Yes, remember the soldiers that have fallen. Yes, remember the saints that have died prior to our own sin. Hey, there are people still today dying in this world because they're Christians. They're just Bible believers and they're dying. They're being persecuted and killed because they just believe like you and I believe. Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." What a blessing. We just need to remember the Lord today. Numbers 15:40, it says, "That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Can we just remember the Lord today? Can we just remember God today? This world just crams so much junk in our brains and our minds all the time. It seems like our brains are in overload all the time from all the stuff that we see and read and hear. We sit down in front of a television set and we turn that thing on and our brains go numb. Amen. They go numb. We let the television tell us what to do, where to go, what to buy, right? Say amen. That's what we do. Many of us do. We see something on there. Ooh, I like that. We got money to buy that? No, but we can charge it. We got credit. All right, let's go buy it. I like that. We let the world tell us what to do, where to go, how to spend our money. Our brains are like in fog some of the time because of all the stuff that's going on around us. You have a job, you work, you have a boss, you have responsibilities, you have a family that you got to take care of. There's all these things that are out there that can fog up our brains. Can we just remember God today? Can we just remember the Lord today? Can we remember what He did for us? How God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He forgave us of all of our sins. He's preparing us a place in heaven. He's doing so much for us. Look at John 14. You know these verses. John 14. John 14. Verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a blessing. Jesus promised. He said, if I go, I'm coming back. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare you a mansion. I'm going to go and prepare you a place. I'm going to get it all ready for you. So when you come up here in My heaven, He said, it'll already be ready, made for you. Isn't that a blessing? I'm looking forward to someday moving into my home in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. We need to remember God. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us, what He is doing for us right now, what He's going to do. Remember, in remembrance of Me, this do as oft as in remembrance of Me. And we are to do that communion, the Lord's Supper, until the Lord comes. But just remember that He's coming one of these days. He's coming back really soon. Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." We need to remember His name. Don't take His name in vain. Shame on you if you take God's name in vain. Shame on you for that. We learned that in Sunday school. Third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God will not hold you guiltless for that. You will, listen, that's a serious thing, taking God's name in vain. There's one more thing I just want you to think about today. Is you need to remember your salvation.
Amen.
Don't ever forget where you were,
Amen.
What Christ did for you, and where you are today. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever phase that out of your brain. You'll see in the Old Testament that, especially through the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, through the inspiration of God, was reminding the Israelites where they were and what God did for them. They were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for 430 years, but God brought them out of Egypt and gave them freedom in the land of Canaan. It's a picture of our salvation. We were slaves to sin at one time in our own lives, but God saved our soul. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Don't ever forget that. He brought you out of that slave market of sin, and He redeemed you, and He gave you new hope in life, gave you a whole new walk in life, and saved your soul so you can go to heaven someday when you die and be with Jesus Christ forever. He did all that for you and me.
Amen.
Don't ever forget where you came from, and don't ever forget where you're going. We're to be living for the Lord, because that's where we're going to end up spending eternity one day.
Right.
He saved you. I hope He saved you. I hope and pray that you're saved today. Only you know that. I don't know that. I can only look on the outward appearance. I can only see your face and your reaction. And I don't know if you're saved or not. I can't look in your heart, but God knows in your heart if you're saved or not. Because God looks on the inward. He looks in your heart. And He knows who's saved in this room and who isn't saved in this room. And I'm praying that God will tell you right now, if you're not saved, I pray that God will make that clear to you right now. That you'll know exactly for sure that you're saved or not right now. God, touch the hearts of the people in this room. If there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray that they would be saved today. And I pray that you would make it very clear to them that they're not. God, if they are saved, I pray that you will make that clear to them also. We should have no doubts about our salvation. If you're born again, if you're truly a child of God, you should know that. The Bible tells us that we can know that. Don't ever forget. Remember the soldiers that gave their life. Remember the saints that died for us. Remember our Savior. And please remember your salvation today. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the people that were here. They've been attentive, Lord. I pray that they've also been attentive spiritually. And again, Lord, you know who's saved and who isn't. Lord, I don't know. Maybe everybody in this room is saved. I don't know that. But Lord, you know. So I pray right now, if there is somebody in this room that's not truly born again, I pray that you would make that very, very clear to them right now, that the Holy Spirit would bring strong conviction upon them that they're sinners and they are in need of salvation. They're in need of a Savior. And Lord, those that are saved here, I pray that you'd make that very clear to them also through the Holy Spirit's testimony. Bless the invitation, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation. If you need to come today for anything at all, you come. I don't know what your need is here, but you do.